National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, presents Now Hear This, dramatic stories based on the personal experiences of those gallant men and women who embody the great traditions of a great service, the United States Navy.
Second Division, report to the supply officer to handle stars.
A couple of hundred years ago, a few guys on horseback would meet in an open field, and they called it a battle. Two wooden boats tossed marshmallows at each other, and it was a naval engagement. Brother, take it from me, things have changed. Modern civilization has seen to it that a sailor can fight his way through a jungle, toss broadsides over a mountain, or act as nursemaid to an airplane in a land where when the weather gets bad, you can count on its getting worse. The land I'm referring to is a series of islands known as the Aleutians, the first United States possession to be taken over by the enemy, the first United States possession to be won back. The Aleutian Islands, where our worst enemy wasn't the Imperial Japanese Air Force, it was the weather.
Why is it, Nevada? Every time I make a statement, you have to say no.
Because every time you open your mouth, hogwash comes out.
Hogwash? What an expression. You hick? I'm telling you, I got the story out of a history book. The United States paid over $7 million for these islands.
Hogwash.
Hey, Professor.
I'm sleeping.
Wake up.
Well, it hurts me to say this, but Pete is right.
Now, do you believe me, Nevada? The professor backs me up.
He was sleeping. He only said you're right to shut you up.
We bought them from Russia in 1867. Of course, as an added inducement, they gave us Alaska.
Pete, what the professor's saying is that we bought Alaska for $7 million, and we had to take these lousy islands or the deal was off.
Same thing?
It isn't the same thing. Nobody wants these hunks of rocks.
The Japs want them.
Only because they belong to us.
They belong to you. As soon as my transfer comes through, I'm going to shove off. Nevada, I'm fed up with these islands. And with the PBYs. And with the guys who fly them.
They're doing a good job.
Propaganda. You hear those guys carry on, the only reason we're alive is to patch up their babies.
Well, you consider that they're only patrol ships, and yet do the job of fighters, bombers, anti-submarine killers.
What's that word you use, Nevada? Hogwash? Shut the door! Hey, you deaf? What are you, an open-air fiend or something? These Quonset huts are drafty enough without you leaving doors open.
You've got your mouth open again, Pete.
Oh, it's you. Ryan the rigorous, Ryan the righteous, Ryan the flying fool, the Navy's top co-pilot, pride of the enlisted men.
At your service. Hey, you're sitting on my bunk.
Just keeping it warm.
How was it, Ryan?
Oh, lousy. The fog was so thick we could have gotten out and walked in it.
Catch anything?
Oh, he dumped a couple on a cruiser. The skipper checked it as a near miss because we lost her in the fog. Oh, I'm frozen. Oh, we had a little company. Three Zeros jumped us, knocked out the port engine, and put about 70 holes in us. There must be 20 below outside.
Now, Ryan, you're just saying those things to get under my skin. You know you're not happy unless I'm working over your plane.
Oh, I can think of better ways of riding you, little man. Smitty, there's a hole right through his shoulder from one of the bullets.
Maybe I could take his place.
They won't let you off the ground, Professor. As a machinist, mate, you got magic in your fingers. I got that from the CO himself.
Now, here it is. Ground crew one, report to the dock.
Is she anchored in the harbor, Ryan?
Yeah. The skipper brought her close to shore so that if she went down, we wouldn't have far to swim.
You see my gloves, Pete?
No.
Come on, guys. Let's get moving. I'll probably want to take off again tonight.
Hey, Nevada.
What?
The guy who bought these islands for $7 million?
Yeah.
Bet he was the first guy to buy the Brooklyn Bridge.
If you've ever been based on one of those garden spots, the Aleutians, you stop and wonder just what anybody ever wanted with them. A fog comes down and just sits. A rain swings in and beats holes in a Quonset hut. The wind? Well, for a wind, they have a special word. It's called a willowa, And the will-o'-wisp sounds like the inside of a kettle drum and feels like 1,000 whips cutting across your back. This is the kind of weather that the ground crews had to battle so that the flying crews could battle it in the sky when they could find the sky.
I wouldn't be caught dead in one of these flying coffins.
Keep working, Pete.
Hey, Professor. I need Stilson.
Right.
My hands are frozen. Look at them. They're turning blue.
Keep plugging up those bullet holes.
And that big shot, Ryan, sitting toasting his feet while I freeze. There's no justice. For him, it's always the easy way.
Professor, we better strengthen this wing. A little too much ice and keep crack off.
Yeah, hold it a second. Hey, Pete.
I'm busy.
Crawl out on that wing and help Nevada.
Now, what's wrong with the rest of the guys? Are they unemployed?
I'll worry about them. I'll start on that wing. I want to finish this job in an hour.
There's a naval base at Pensacola. Maybe they'll send me there. Or San Diego. That could be real valuable in San Diego.
What are you mumbling about?
The wing looks solid enough to me.
Take a look at this.
You got a 3/4-inch bolt?
Look in the box. It's getting cooler.
I'm blue all over.
You were saying something about San Diego.
I know. Hey, give me the torch.
You might as well make up your mind, Pete. This is a global war.
I read that in the Philadelphia Inquirer. Everybody reads the Philadelphia Inquirer.
Forget that transfer business. Besides, they'll never transfer you to San Diego. What could you do in San Diego? I mean, after you take off your ski boots.
I've been in Chicago when the wind was crossing the loop. I walked down Wall Street and felt a gale playing tag through the canyons of New York. But after a couple of months in the Aleutians, the windiest corner in the world seemed like a spring breeze. We had playful little breaths of air that could pick up a full-grown sailor, toss him 20 feet in the air, and then, just when the ride got interesting, he was slammed down into mud up to his hips. And to see that it didn't get monotonous, we had rain that could turn a Quonset hut into a shower bath without faucets. And all of this climate was tossed toward a few lonesome volcanic islands in the middle of the Bering Sea.
Well, it's hard to explain, Pete. I just feel that I'd be of more use if I were fighting the war instead of fixing it so that others fought it.
Well, I'd like to be sitting behind a desk in Washington. And, Professor,
yeah?
If you can get me behind that desk, I promise to get you in the front line.
Close the door! Pete, it's practically impossible to get into a Quonset hut without opening the door first.
We got holes in the roof big enough to slip a horse through.
What's doing, Boats?
I just dropped in to tell Pete that his transfer was turned down.
Oh, not again. I worked a week on that letter. I looked up every word to make sure I spelled them right.
The commander considers you essential. Right here.
Say, Boats, Ryan's going to fix it so I get assigned to his crew. Now, you've got the CO's ear. How are my chances?
Ryan's plane is 2 hours overdue.
What's the word?
We got a message by radio. They were jumped by 7 zeros.
How far from base?
200 miles. That's just a guess, though. I'll let you know if I get any word.
Ryan will get her in. He wouldn't hurt that precious skin of his. I feel sorry for the pilot if he makes a mistake.
Close the door!
Get a look at that weather, Professor.
With 7 zeros on their neck, they'll need plenty of dirty weather. Nice, fat clouds to hide in.
Now, that Ryan's a clown. Probably only a joke.
You don't like Ryan, do you?
That's right. Ryan is a no-good heel.
He might have been shot down.
Well, that don't make him any nicer a guy. Well, don't look at me like that, Professor. I didn't shoot him down.
Well, that's your business.
Well, even if he did get shot down, he'd still get picked up.
Just because we're in the same Navy doesn't mean I have to like him. Does it?
Boats will let us know.
Ryan swore by his pilot that he had the best in the business.
Well, you're not a kid, Professor. You're an old guy for the Navy.
I bet you lied plenty to get in, Professor. You got grown kids.
You didn't like everybody you met, did you? There must have been plenty of guys rubbed you the wrong way. Well, Ryan just rubs me the wrong way. I don't know what it is about him, but I just don't like him.
Close the door! You can't see 2 feet in front of you. Every day this weather gets worse.
What's the news, Boats? Get another report?
The radio shack got to them again. They were limping home.
We were worried.
Well, don't stop. They gave us a report, got in sight of the island, and we lost them.
They'll send a rescue squad out.
Too dirty. Crew has been alerted, but they can't take off. The CO ordered flares sent up, but we didn't get an answer.
Suppose they made the island boats. They may be wounded. They'll freeze.
Well, we'll just have to wait until the storm cuts down.
Three of us could make it.
Don't try it. I know that Ryan is a pal of yours, but don't try it. That's an order.
Ryan's no pal of mine. Besides, I'm no St. Bernard.
I'll let you know how things look. When the weather clears, we'll send out a rescue party.
We can't let those men freeze to death.
You heard what Boat said.
We're mechanics. The CO knows his job. When it's safe, when there's a chance, a party will hoof it out.
There is a chance.
There's easier ways of getting killed.
I'm going to try it.
You'll be AWOL.
You two can cover for me. I'll pack some sulfur and some flares.
One guy, no equipment. What good can you do?
You're talking like a crazy kid, Professor. Use your head.
Orders or no orders, they may be alive.
Look, I'm sorry I sounded off about Ryan. Only he's not your responsibility, Professor. Not mine either.
The pilot on that plane is my son.
Okay. So I'm a St. Bernard.
You know, not all of us can be members of the United States Navy or one of the other branches of the armed forces which defend our American democracy and way of life. But we can actively support our sailors, soldiers, Marines, and airmen by making donations of our own blood, which in many cases is the contribution of life itself. You see, the Department of Defense's supplies of dried human blood plasma has been gravely depleted by the demands of the Korean campaign and must be replenished to give the greatest degree of protection to our men in the service. The need is vital, for it's essential that an adequate supply be maintained at all times ready for the immediate use of our military men in any given emergency. The Navy urges you to contact your nearest Red Cross office and ask where and when you may make your contribution of blood to our armed forces. And remember, when you make the gift of blood, you're making the gift of life itself to those who have defended and are defending the principles by which we live, the armed forces of the United States.
Once in a while, a sailor gets into trouble. A mild sort of trouble, like floating in a life raft a million miles from nowhere. Or an air attack when your rudder has been fouled. Or maybe a forced landing on the corner of a blizzard-blanketed island. During the Aleutian campaign, if a plane full of flying sailors disappeared, you began to improvise. Improvise such happy little deals as hauling your tail through a snowstorm so thick you could tie a half hitch in it.
We could get in trouble, Professor. The Navy doesn't hold with a guy taking a bit in his mouth.
Don't look now, Pete, but we are in trouble.
Yeah. If we happen to be lucky enough to get out of this alive, which I doubt, the best we got to look forward to is AWOL and the brig.
According to the information I got from radio, they were headed toward the southern end of the island.
You sure are a close-mouthed guy, Professor. I didn't know you had a kid in the service.
Yeah, two of them. Both officers.
Two in one family's enough. You should have stayed home. Besides, you're overage.
One in the Army. I'm only 42.
Come on.
It'll give or take a couple of years. I owned a garage. Sold it. I'd like to fly with my boy. We'd be a team.
I didn't think it could get so cold. Professor, if the Navy ever tips to the fast when you're pulling, you'll be shipped stateside so fast.
I got a hunch we passed this mound before.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you're leading this expedition. I sure hope you know where you're headed. It's no fun pulling this sled.
Well, you can't count on a compass. There's a magnetic field that...
What a jolly thought. Wait a minute. You mean we're walking blind? You mean we're just guessing?
Of course he isn't guessing. Are you, Professor?
Oh, it's such a small island.
Well, we could be walking in circles.
Hold on, Professor. My hands are frozen to the sled.
Let's rest for a minute. And only a minute. If we stay in one place too long, we're liable to freeze.
I may have missed the island. It could have gone in the drink. 20 minutes. That's all you can last in that water. I read it in the manual.
You read too much. I'm okay now. The gloves are loose.
How much distance have we made?
About a mile and a quarter.
And an hour and a half.
Maybe you two had better go back. Weather seems to be getting worse.
How about you?
You're able. I don't want to be responsible.
We didn't get orders not to look for him. Of course, we didn't get orders to make Pete, who was the guy who walked across the South Pole?
How should I know?
I think you must mean Scott.
That's the guy. If he walked across the South Pole, we can walk across a dinky little island.
What happened to Scott, Professor?
He froze to death.
Sitting on an open porch trying to fan a breeze out of a hot summer afternoon makes it a little tough to realize that men can freeze to death. But there was no summer in the Aleutians. There was no change of seasons. There was nothing but wind, rain, fog, sleet, snow, and conditions so bad that the weatherman didn't have the courage to put a name on them. Such was the weather that the men who flew the PBIs went out to battle in and afraid to come home to.
Think you could make it on your own?
Not on one leg, Ryan.
You got any idea where we are, Lenny?
I think it's Kiska. But don't bank on it. This island came up so fast. Navigation is 90% guesswork up here.
Anybody else get out?
Woody's in pretty good shape. You can call having a bullet in the hip good shape. How are you?
I got a bullet in the back. I'm afraid to move. Just the three of us, huh?
And the skipper.
How is he?
Oh, he's pinned down. I tried to lift him free, but I can't. He goes out of his head every once in a while. The engine is sitting right on his arm.
Tell Woody to stick with him.
I did. Anything I can do for you?
No. I'm all right. The wind isn't too bad on this side of the hill.
Ryan, radio was sending right up until we hit. Only I'm not sure if he was getting through. In this country, nothing runs true. The radio goes haywire.
Take it easy, kid.
Well, don't you think they would have sent a plane out after us? We've been here for hours.
With visibility at 10 feet, they'd never spot us.
Radio smashed. Whole plane looks like a junkyard.
Hey, you think you can light a cigarette for me?
Oh, sure. Here. Got this lighter for a present. Works, too.
Oh, thanks. If this weather lets up, we've got a chance.
Sure.
There's some flares, two left.
Sure. At least you don't bleed long in this weather. Woody froze solid.
Cut him open and toss himself on it.
You serious?
Go ahead.
I never did anything like that. I never cut a guy with a knife.
Look, I saw that wound. It's got mud, oil, everything. You think you can find the sulfur?
Well, I used some on the skipper. Only Ryan,
go on,
I never...
get him.
Okay. Hey, Woody. Ryan wants to see you.
Here's a bullet, Woody. Bite on it.
No.
Come on, lie flat. Sit on him, Lenny.
No.
Knock him down, Lenny.
Look, I'm all right, Ryan. Look, the bleeding stopped. I gotta go back and take care of the skipper.
Better do what he says, Woody.
And let him cut me open. You're crazy.
Here, we haven't got much of a chance, Woody. Maybe 1 in 1,000. With a wound like that, your chances are about 1 in 5 less.
You're no doctor.
Look, sailor. Right now, I'm the ranking man. I've got the stripes.
Yeah, but...
Keep out of this, Lenny. Now, lie down, Woody.
You won't hurt me, will you, Ryan?
Bite on this bullet. Bite! Hold him, Lenny. Okay. Let him up.
I'm gonna be sick.
You okay, Woody?
It hurt, Ryan. It hurt.
I know, kid. I'm sorry.
We're all gonna die anyway.
Yeah. But at least we'll die healthy.
I get 8 hours a week off. And I spend them walking around in circles.
You want to keep trying, Professor?
A half hour more. Just another half hour.
That's what you said an hour ago.
We walked in a circle. We wasted all that time walking in a circle.
You want some advice from me?
No.
I'm willing to keep trying even though I'm frozen stiff. But let's try my way.
This ought to be great.
The weather's letting up a little.
Might clear any minute.
Then again, this storm could last for a week. But we won't. I say we stick close to the shoreline. It's our best chance. They couldn't have gotten too far inland.
We could step off into nothing.
He's right, Pete. This island isn't symmetrical.
I'll take the lead. We'll stay 5 feet apart. As long as we can see water, we won't walk in circles.
The fog would only lift. 5 minutes of clear weather, and you'd find them easily.
5 minutes of clear weather, and an airplane would have saved us a lot of walking.
You better keep talking and serve as contact for us.
We could see.
I feel like enough of a jerk without... Now, watch it. If they're right.
Pete, what do you got against Ryan? He seems like a nice enough Joe.
I just don't like him.
That's no reason.
We come from the same town.
Still no reason. Huh, Professor?
Maybe.
We went to high school together. He got all the headlines. I was the guy who took the beating. He was the captain of the football team. I was the blocking back. His folks had dough. My old lady did the washing. He has a kid sister.
I never held dough against anybody.
I was always making it easy for the guy. So we both enlist at the same time. Sure enough, he becomes a pilot. I'm back in the garage. I just don't like the guy.
Watch it here, Professor. Yeah. These rocks are loose.
The story's interesting, Pete.
What story? I just don't like the guy.
Lenny? Lenny?
Huh? Oh. Yes, I must have dozed off.
But this is no place to fall asleep. You'll freeze solid. Keep moving. Walk around and see how the skipper's doing.
Woody's with him.
You know, I bet we aren't more than 20 miles from the base, maybe even closer.
Have you got a pencil?
Yeah, in my pocket. No, the other one.
I gotta write a letter.
What kind of letter?
Oh, just a letter. My mother worries a lot, so I write to her twice a week.
All mothers worry.
I was small when I was a kid. Always getting into trouble. Skinned knees, black eyes. Broke my collarbone.
We had an apple tree in the backyard. I built a treehouse and fell out of it.
When I was being shipped out, she said to me, Lenny, be careful. Take care of yourself. And please, don't fight.
I can't feel a thing on the left side of my face.
I don't think I got a face anymore.
Pete?
Yeah?
I think we'd better turn around.
You mean it, Professor?
We've been out 3 hours. It'll take us that long to return. Maybe tomorrow.
You're the boss, Professor. I'm sorry. Nobody can say we didn't try.
Sure.
Let's rest a couple of minutes.
Hey, Pete, what does this look like to you?
Huh? Like a piece of patched up fuselage. The island's loaded with them. Somebody did a hurry up job plugging a bullet hole.
Now, let me see it.
Hey! Anybody around? Oh, this is nuts.
You're yelling right into the wind.
That might have come off their plane. Try calling again.
Ryan! Ryan! Hey! Over here! Here! I should have known. Come on. Over here.
Oh. What did I tell you, Lenny?
I knew it. Goofing off again.
I've been expecting you, Pete. You better give the skipper a hand. He's pinned down.
I'll show you.
How does he look, Professor?
I can't tell.
Probably just passed out again. Woody, help Ryan. Can you get him loose?
I'll boost the wing up. You slide him out.
He's free. It's just his arm. Get a sled, Nevada. Son, can you hear me, boy?
Pop.
It's me, boy. You're going to be all right.
I wondered why you didn't come. I was calling you.
I'm here now. Just lie quiet.
I heard Dad.
He's all right, Nevada. He's all right. Get a sled.
So you'll end up with a Purple Heart and headlines. I'll end up in the brig.
I knew you'd come, Pete. You always came running.
Pete the sucker. Legs hurt much?
I got a bullet in the spine.
Now the doc will fix you up. Only, Ryan, don't think I did this because I like you. I don't.
You'll change someday.
Not after the dirty deal you pulled on me. Your sister and I were getting on swell until you said I wasn't good enough for her.
You said that. I didn't. She broke off with you because she got tired waiting for you to prove something to yourself.
We were getting along swell.
You've got a great big chip on your shoulder. Too big.
I don't like to interrupt you guys, but it's snowing outside.
The casualties were heavy, but those who returned to fly again. The storm raged on for 3 more days and then subsided. And the routine continued. The same complaints, the same laughs, the same tears. The wind still howled and the Quonset hut still leaked.
Hogwash. Just because the book says so doesn't make it true.
I got this book from the professor. It's loaded with things that make you tick. For instance, when you say hogwash, that's a complex. You're fighting something.
I am?
You're trying to hide the fact that I know more than you do. It's warping your whole life.
I wish you'd go back to comic books.
Like, now, my desire for a transfer stems from the deep-rooted instinct I cultivated back in my infancy.
That wasn't so long ago.
Ryan, you amaze me. Anybody else with a bullet in the back is in trouble, but not you. Now, quiet. I'm not quite up to the chapter where I don't like you.
You mean they only wrote one chapter on that?
Please, Ryan, when I know why I don't like you, I'll first begin to enjoy it. Close the door!
Raining outside.
And what else is new, folks?
Pete.
Yeah?
I got a letter for you. I think it's your transfer.
Transfer? Hey, let me have it. Oh, brother. Hawaiian Islands, here I come.
This could be a relief for both of us. I might even bake a cake.
You know, I better write and tell my sister to stop knitting that scarf and start turning it into a grass skirt.
I quote, Seaman First Class Peter Bonner, your transfer has been received and acted upon. Such courtesy. Due consideration has been given to your reasons for requesting transfer, and you are hereby ordered to report to Lieutenant Commander Stevens at... Oh, no! No, no! At United States Naval Base, Reykjavik, Iceland!
Just another incident in another war that took 3.5 long years to end. Another incident of a sailor and his shipmates, of heroism beyond the call of duty, of the spirit which has built the United States Navy into the position of being second to none on the 7 seas of the world.
Until 17:30 next Sunday.
The National Broadcasting Company, in cooperation with the United States Navy Recruiting Service, has brought you another in the series of dramatic incidents based on the experiences of the men and women in the United States Navy. In today's story, Boats was Arnold Robertson, and the cast included Bernard Lenro, Jim Bowles, John Sylvester, Michael O'Day, Sandy Becker, and Joseph Julian. The program was written and directed by David Harmon and produced by Chick Vincent and Cy Levine. Jack Costello speaking. Tune in again next week at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will once again present... Stay tuned for You Can't Take It With You, next on NBC.